Roots. Like father, like son conveys an accepted opinion that children generally resemble their parents, having similar physical traits and characteristics that reflect a parental likeness. Aristotle and St. Thomas Aquinas, great philosophers, confirmed this, teaching that every agent generates its own likeness. The Bible's first chapter, verse 27, strongly confirms this. God created man in his own image and likeness. Obviously, God passed on to the reproductive powers of nature the same quality. The gene biologist can give evidence of this transmission or hereditary fact. But the influence of a mother and father reaches far beyond birth. Parents, as teachers, mold the personality of their children by passing on their values, their example, and their home environment. Joe Devlin's parents and his grandmother, Nana, inspired Joe to appreciate a priest's vocation. From them, he learned to be an apostle for the underdog. To know Friar Joe, we begin with his roots. The rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness set forth in the American Declaration of Independence were not enjoyed by the Irish living under the British, nor by the Germans living under the militaristic Bismarck. So many Irish and German people left their homes for the promised land, America. They also wished to survive. In their native land, when the family farm did not produce enough to support 8 or 10 children, the older children helped by leaving their families to become self-supporting. America offered a better economic future than the old world. From large families, departing members became boat people as they sailed to America. Ernest Henry Mueller, Joe's maternal grandfather, was born in Bremerhaven, Germany. He arrived in the United States in 1876 to make his home in San Francisco and to work as a butcher. Before he married Irish Catholic Margaret Rose McGrath, he converted to the Catholic faith from the Lutheran faith. One day, Ernest, after arriving home from work, suffered a heart attack and died quickly, with his wife and his daughter Rose present. Since Bremerhaven was completely destroyed in World War II, no family records of the Mueller family background are available. A grandson, Paul, recalls that, while purchasing meat, he talked with a butcher who told him the story of his grandfather winning an egg-eating contest and praised Ernest for being a hard-working, conscientious man. Otherwise, no information is known by the grandchildren, but they recalled the large marriage picture of Ernest and his bride, Margaret Rose McGrath, on a wall in their grandmother's home. The only grandparent alive and known to the later Devlin family members was Margaret Rose McGrath. She was Joe Devlin's maternal grandmother. Her grandchildren lovingly called her Nana, to distinguish her from Rose, her daughter with the identical name of Margaret Rose. Nana was born on August 5, 1867, in Tullaroe, County Clare, Ireland. This was the home-dwelling place of Matthew and Mary Coughlin McGrath, who married in 1854 at St. Sinan Church in Kilrush, County Clare. The ocean was a short walk from Tullaroe and enjoyed by Nana's 7 brothers and 3 sisters. With her brothers and sisters, Nana helped with ordinary chores and sometimes cut the wet peat or turf from the bog for the fireplace. On occasions, the loaded peat cart got stuck or bogged down, and others came to their rescue. Nana told Irish lore and leprechaun stories, and how the young girls enjoyed practical jokes, such as tying the boys' clothing while the boys were swimming. Nana encouraged her grandchildren to visit the Catholic churches in San Francisco. "As you enter, make a wish, and it will be granted." One grandchild always made a lifetime wish, and it was granted. Traveling school teachers periodically came to Nana's home in Ireland and taught the children their faith and how to read and write. Nana noticed that one teacher's hands were not like a laboring man's hand and said, "You must be a priest." He was a priest, disguised as a teacher to avoid the British authorities, for priests, if caught, would be jailed or executed. At the age of 16, with some of her brothers and sisters, Nana left home and migrated to America to settle in San Francisco, where her brother, Mike, opened a hotel. Nana met and married Ernest Henry Mueller and became the mother of 5 children. Joseph was her first child. He became a captain in the San Francisco Fire Department. Those were the days when the fire wagons were drawn by fast-moving horses. They sprinted out of the firehouse at the ringing of the fire alarm bell, so the firemen could extinguish a city blaze quickly, or else the majority of the city's wooden buildings would become ashes. During the historic flu epidemic in 1916 and 1917, Henry joined the volunteers to pick up the dead flu victims and bring them to the morgue. Each time before removing the dead bodies, the leader passed around a whiskey bottle for each to take a swig. When Nana objected to Henry's volunteer work of mercy, fearing he might die of the flu himself, Henry said, "With all the whiskey I drank, no germs would be able to survive." Nana's first daughter, Wendelana, died at the age of 14 of spinal meningitis. Victor, a son, died within a year after birth. Rose, Nana's second daughter, was born 5 years after Henry. Nana's last child was Michael Anthony, fondly remembered as Anthony. He worked as a machinist helper at the Union Iron Works in San Francisco and became a machinist. He worked on the battleship California being built at that time. He told his nephews how he was scheduled to be present at the testing of one of the gun turrets. In order to be on time, he set the alarm clock in a frying pan to make it louder. It was not a successful procedure, for he was late for the testing. Anthony wanted to be a priest, but could not enter the seminary because he was needed to support his mother. He joined the San Francisco Police Department and found a conflict of interests and beliefs during the years of Prohibition. Some police were being paid off to ignore liquor sales. Anthony, a man of ethics, refused to take any bribe money, so he was ostracized by other officers. He left the police department and joined the San Francisco Fire Department. When her husband Ernest died, Nana opened an Irish boarding house on 3rd and South Land Park in San Francisco. Nina House, Nana called her home after her mother's hometown in Ireland. Her boarders provided financial support despite her accepting newly arrived Irish immigrants without jobs. She helped rehabilitate one boarder, a drug addict. Another time, she helped an inactive priest return to the active ministry. Other Irish immigrants came to Nana's house for tea, Irish soda bread, and dancing on Saturday nights. Nana's charity for others was imitated by her daughter Rose throughout her own life. And finally, Nana, surrounded by her grandchildren, sons, and daughter, and with the doctor and the priest present in her home, died a happy death. Her funeral was a learning experience for the younger family members. It was celebrated in a happy Irish family traditional manner. Nana was buried respectfully with the religious habit of the Third Order of St. Francis, of which she was a life member. Joe Devlin's grandfather on his father's side was Edward John Devlin. He was born in Gorton, Tyrone, Ireland on December 21, 1865. In 1891, he left Ireland for the United States and made his journey to California. Before arriving in San Francisco, he stopped in Virginia City, Nevada, famous for its silver and gold. Mining silver was the chief occupation, but the town had its stores, restaurants, and bars, as well as a Catholic church and a Catholic sister's hospital and orphanage. Many Irish mine laborers working at Virginia City's 6,000-foot elevation in high temperatures deep in the mines died from pneumonia or heart and lung problems. The miners' work shift pattern of working for 40 minutes in great heat and then cooling off with ice water was not conducive to good health. Edward Devlin stayed in Virginia City just long enough to find a person better than gold. He met his future wife, Ellen O'Donnell. She lived with her Irish parents a short distance from Virginia City on Gold Hill, Nevada. Ellen's parents had migrated from Ireland, but no family records exist. Edward Devlin and Ellen O'Donnell married and lived in San Francisco, where Edward worked as a machinist at the Union Iron Works. Here he invented a quick disconnect for steam hoses. When the Union Iron Works closed in a labor strike, Edward quit his job and became a plumber. Edward and Ellen had 6 children, James Joseph, daughter Evelyn, who died young, Mary, Rose, Eleanor, and Edward. who became a machinist at the Mare Island Naval Shipyards. Not much is known of this paternal side of the family history, with the exception of the oldest boy, James Joseph Devlin, who was always called Jim. Jim did not relate much about his mother and father, except for minor details, such as how his mother, Ellen, enjoyed singing Sweet Alice Benbow and other songs while doing her household work. Singing may not seem significant, but Jim always enjoyed singing, as would his son Joe, who loved good music. Jim did not talk much about his parents, except that he loved them, and his mother died when he was 14. Joe Devlin's grandparents left their German and Irish homes at an early age, leaving behind their families and their native land. Without much wealth, they embarked on a long sea journey to America, not knowing their future. They were self-reliant, mature, and courageous. They had great confidence in God and a determined character to work out their future destiny. They never thought of themselves as courageous and heroic, but in their own way, they were.